Okay, we're continuing the Tanya on page Resh Samach Zayin. We're beginning chapter 22. The introductory words, Perek HaKodesh Nisbar, in the previous chapter, it explained, Shediburu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Dibur Mitzad Geder Hagilu Shebedibur Velo Mitzad Inyan HaPerud. That the speech of God is called speech only insofar in the definition of that it is revealing the revelation that comes from speech, but has nothing to do with it being a separation from the one who uttered the speech. Because it's not possible for speech to be separated from Hashem. But this is not a sufficient explanation. Because when we speak about speech, there are two concepts. And since the dibur of Hashem is only similar in one way to the speech of a person, it should be called a different term and not dibur. Why is it called dibur when it doesn't really have both qualities of dibur? Words, dibur has two qualities. Number one, it's a revelation of what was that others can now know what they didn't know beforehand. And also, it's something that now becomes beyond the person who uttered the dibur. Those are the two points of a dibur. But if when Hashem does dibur, only one of the two points is done. So why do we use the term dibur? This is the question. This is now what the Tanya will explain this question. And here's a famous rule. The Tanya says now, rock, but the still we use the expression dibur. Why? Shatora dibra beloshen b'nei adam.
There we go.
The Torah speaks in the way that people speak. All right? And the way it is by people, that's the way, even though that for people the speech is separated from them, but still God speaks in the way that people speak. We'll skip the little line of commentary, continue with the Tanya. And it's called in the Torah, the speech of Hashem. All right, the same with the same wording, the way it's mentioned, the speech of people. Because the truth of the matter is, that's the way the emanations come down. When life comes down to the lower worlds through all the different tzimtzumim and the constrainments, the awesome ones from one sort to another, lehabaras v'embruim rabim, to create many creatures, minim shavim, of different kinds, that's what happens, explains the commentary. Hadibur nikra dibur mamish, the dibur is called literally dibur, shekol besochel games inyan aperi, because it does incorporate the concept of separation. Why? Kidam bedibur lamala yesh es inyan hapirud. Because there is the aspect above of the concept of separation. Elashain zelagabe kadosh baruch hu, but it's not regarding Hashem. Rak shehu shekachu misbati lagabe nivraim. But that's expressed regarding creatures. Aide shehahamshacha hi bitzimsumi rabim. Because when it comes down, it comes with many constraints. And you have different types of constraints. That's where you get the different changes within all the different creatures. Okay, let's take a look in the Beurim below in Aleph. That which the Rebbe says, because that's truly the way it is in the low, in when it gets constrained down. What he means to explain here, more than what he explained in the previous chapter, is shat simtsum eino al derech dimyan amamish legabe nivraim. Simtsum is not just a way of allegory,
a parable
for the creatures. Uki inyan achizanim, like magic. It's not like a magic trick here. Kim shat simtsum amiti legabe nivraim, because simtsum is true regarding the creatures in and of themselves. Fukoach aloki mamish, it's a godly force, litzamtzem, to constrain ulahasfir, ulahalim, or achius. It is a reality that God does constrain the actual life force that God is bringing down into their realities down here. Shelachin nikar b'torah gam k'mishen dibur. So it's also called dibur, k'dibur adam, like speech of a person. Why? L'vishu emes kachu, because that's really what happens as it comes down here, where it appears to man, yeah, that it's separated, the dibur separated from Hashem. As far as man sees it, that's part of the tzimtzum. The tzimtzum, although from Hashem's perspective, there's totally no separation, but from the human perspective, and that's the one that human beings use, there is a total separation, and therefore dibur fits 100% for people, even if it's discussing something from Hashem. Elishimikomakam zehu rachel gabin ibram. It's not regarding the creatures. Do look above, because he's Baruch, when he's talking about Hashem, ain't at simsum out. The simsum does not anything from him. You have hamet sam same as at simsum. He's the one who constrains the constrainment. Kaden kam to the lavushe mineu bay, like I guess different garments that are put on. Uchein legabav regarding him ain't shayach losh dibur. For him, it doesn't apply dibur rooms in the same way. Actually, Torah omer him, but the Torah said it. Shnizagabe nivraim kenuas, because regarding the creatures, that's the way it truly is. In other words, it look in base. That same thing he's saying. Shazil gam kein dibur Torah loshvim. That's what it means. The Torah speaks in the way of people. Shemayachash legabe bnei adam harei dibur. So go to shul near move the lomenu. Since from people's perspective, Hashem's speech seems to be separated from him. Chen karasa Torah dibur. There were the Torah called it dibur. So because of the tzimtzumim, the tzimtzumim create a reality that as man who is in the tzimtzum, he really senses that, you know, God's word is separated from him, and that which is created is separate from him, because that's what God has covered up. It's covered up his connection. Really, you should be seeing God, mamish, right next to, making the, with my, the famous analogy of the magic eye picture. Where if you see with your eyes not crossed a reality, and if you cross your eyes, you would see Hashem putting energies into that reality, then that would be what's really happening. Hashem right now is not separated from him, himself. What he's done is not separate. What he said isn't separated from him. And if we could flip the magic picture where you saw Hashem doing it, you'd see it. But Hashem's not letting you see it. That's all. So now since we're not seeing it, and the Torah was written for human beings to live by, not for God to live by, the human beings see a reality that is totally disconnected from Hashem. And Hashem wants you to live in that reality as it is disconnected from Hashem, because if it's not, then you have no purpose of living.
So but then when you're going to say that, like the table and everything else is, it's, we see the essence, the letters that make it up as opposed to...
That's right. So that's what we're... So therefore, dibur applies only from the human perspective, and in the human perspective, it has both qualities of dibur, even though from the godly perspective, it only has one quality of dibur.
We know that Torah permeates different levels, and the Torah of Hashem is a little bit different than the Torah of man, and then it's different from the Torah of the angels. Therefore, does the word, when you get up to, let's say, Atzilut, the Torah in Atzilut, is the word dibur removed?
I don't know. Well, he's still revealed. Well, I don't know. Probably different lashonis.
You would think, because as it permeates to the lower worlds, you have to, it adapts to that world with the lights. So you think as it gets much closer to Hashem, near the Ein Sof, their dibur can't be used because it's, the revelation is too strong and there
maybe
is
you don't
no
need
tzimtzum.
Any dibur.
Right.
At all. There's nothing there that, right. Like we know it.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on to the next page. The Tanya continues. And this hiddenness and this constraintment is so great we can even create things that are tame, that are klipos, and that are things on the other side. They still receive their life and their reality from the word of Hashem, from the spirit of his mouth, but in a very hidden way as it goes down the different levels. Explains. Also, as we see, there's so many different levels of tzimtzumim. Adayim miskalar aloki, but there still is a godly light. And it's impossible for anything else to be created. right? If it would be too much light, you wouldn't see that. Lazed sorry, his garbage says you need great, powerful tzimtzumim. Tzimtzum keilu she'or musarim legarmi. You have to tzimtzum so much as if the light is totally, totally hidden. And thereby, they can receive their life from a Hester poem. In other words, there's different amounts that are hidden. Right? That once we go down, you know, the light is hidden, right? But, and if there would still be some light, in other words, even though things go down, there still is a little light revealed. You know, we have a tzaddik. A tzaddik, you definitely have a lot of a light revealed of Hashem.
Sure.
A lot of things do speak about the Creator. Even though Hashem hides a lot, but He leaves some footprints are there in this world. But when we're going to create things of the opposite, for them to be the opposite, Hashem has to hide the light nearly totally. Okay, that means a tremendous amount of tzimtzum has to happen, as if you don't see any light at all. Okay, so this certain amount of tzimtzum, you know, obviously, if a person thinks about it, you really could see. If you really want to think about it, you see, well, it can't be that Hashem didn't make it. Hashem had to have made it, right? That's a little bit of light is getting through. But there's some things that seem to be saying, no, I don't see anything of Hashem here. It's totally concealed. That's going to now give us the ability to mamash believe there's something else but Hashem.
Yeah.
Therefore, these foreign gods are called Elohim Acherim.
Wow.
Foreign gods, foreign Elohims.
Yeah.
Why? Their nurturing still is Eina Mibachinas Panim. It's not from the aspect of a face, face to face, but rather Ela Mibachinas Achoraim de Kedusha, but from the back of Kedusha, which we'll explain. Haklipas Nikroim, the shells are called, the forces of evil are called, the other side is called Elohim Acherim. Why? They don't get their life from the forward face of Hashem, but from the back of Hashem, as he will explain. What does back mean? Well, just like in human terms. Let's say you have to give someone to who you hate. You don't want to give him, but you have to give him. How are you going to give him? Well, let's reverse. How do you give someone you like? Say, hello, Mr. Son. Say, here, I'm happy to give you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you. But a guy you don't like, but you have to give it to him, how are you going to give it to him?
I'm not looking at him.
You just throw it behind your shoulder. Here, take it. He turns his face away from him because he hates him so much. There's no direct face-to-face. There's giving it from the back. This is the famous terms that Tanya is using over here. So the commentary says, Acharayim backwards means, Hukaram anasan son, you give to your enemy. Shinrosalos, you don't want to give it to him. Acharayim is mitamus, you have to give for a certain reason. The way we give it is, Shemashichlam acharayim kis, you throw it from behind your shoulder. Kinrosalos, I just want to look at him. Havagadarakish knows love of the opposite, when you give it to someone you love, Shosnoson who love, but save upon him, you obviously give it with a good face. That's how it works above as well. Bitsada Kedush, in terms of holiness, Hashem wants holy things. So Hashem gives it with his face. It's not klipas, but the shells. Hashem hates them. He has to give them for a reason, as will be explained. Therefore, the giving is backwards, and you get very little.
You don't have to see the authorities when you pay your taxes.
That's right. You do it through your lawyer. Do it through the accountant.
God forbid a divorce or something like that.
I'm saying you don't look at the person you give him money. You can't. So Hashem, as it were, he hates those other forces, although they must exist. They must exist, but he doesn't like them. So he gives to them backwards, meaning to say it is very little imprint of Hashem at all, as if he gave it to them. Continues the Tanakh.
Rabbi, is that dissimilar, or as people getting from the other side, whatever that means, getting...
No, people who get from the other side are getting from the other side.
So that's not even coming from Hashem.
That's not even...
There's no other force other than
Hashem. It's coming from Hashem, but it's coming from forces that are getting from the back of Hashem already.
Right, so I'm just thinking Hashem creates that way of giving that's...
The Russia gives you money straight to your face. But the way he got the money came back from the side, from, came backwards.
But the side is like the back side of Hashem, effectively.
Yeah, but Hashem is really not involved. I don't want to be involved. Now you go get it, you can get it straight from the Sutton himself. He'll give it directly with a smiling face to you.
Yeah, smile.
But the Sutton didn't get it with a smiling face from Hashem. It's the guy who got extorted the money out of somebody, and now he gives it to somebody who wants his extorted money. So
I'm just wondering whether Satan is sort of synonymous with the backside of Hashem.
No, he receives from the backside, but he comes as your friend.
No, I'm talking about his receipt.
He gets it from the backside of Hashem.
Right.
So it is above, says the Tanya. Bechinas panim, the aspect of face to face. The deepest. Remember, the word pani means deep. Pani means face. So when we're saying Hashem gives you face to face, you're getting from His deepest will, His truest will. Hashem wants to give light to anything that's holy, that's close to Him, from the side of holiness. But the other side, in Tuma, it's disgusting Hashem. Hashem is what He hates. He doesn't give it any light from His inner desire, in His inner wanting, that Hashem should want. No, God forbid. Kim commanded shari basar kasvi, like someone who throws behind his back, to the one who hates, behind his back. That's how they get it. So now why does he give it though? Why does he give it to the sitrach at all? Rakadei lahanish asarashim, to punish the wicked. For litain socher tov latzadikim, but to give a good reward to the tzadikim, the ach bin the sitrach, who control and push down the other side, who resist the other side. This is explaining why he has created this system to begin with. He's created the other side to punish wicked people, as he will explain. The commentary says, Hashpas hachiyas sitracher, who shalob rasvim, the flow of light that goes to the other side isn't God's internal will. King Chavasim HaShem doesn't want them. Rak mashpielam, he gives to them, mach was tam for reason. So there should be a choice between good and evil. And as a result of that, reward and punishment. Hashem has decreed. Hashem says, okay, I want you to be a good boy and go to shul on Shabbos. Then Hashem creates a whole reality of things you shouldn't be doing on Shabbos. Look amazing. But that Hashem doesn't really want that. Hashem doesn't really want anybody to do these kinds of things. But he has to have that, because if he doesn't have it, then you don't have any free will choice, and you can't be rewarded for not choosing the bad and choosing the good. And then as well, the wicked people have to have a choice to choose bad, so he has to offer them something bad so that he can punish the bad people. So they've got to be in the system. Look at footnote 3, Lule mitzias asitrach, if we wouldn't have the reality of the other side, ain't siba lesa sachar letzadikim, there's no reason to give a reward to the righteous people. Hashem wants to give a reward to the tzaddikim. Not as a gift. In the way that they earn the profit. If you give someone a payment for what he works, it's a much greater kindness than giving someone a gift. But matanu margi sheino shavas hadavar shnosol. When you get a gift, you know you're not worth that which you're getting. The davar and yoker as a kachal, and the thing you get isn't so precious. Mashen kisha oved haschar shemakabel yokerlo. But when you work for it, so it's precious to the recipient. Chaim baruch kadosh baruch hu sitrachas. God created the other side. The afal became still no. Hatzadikim achben lesitrachay. The tzadikim conquer the other side. Chaim agil haschar. They get the reward. And the reason why he created this other side is that there should be wicked people and punish them. So you have to explain, what is that? In other words, why does Hashem want there should be wicked people to get punished? The explaining based on Chassidus is, what does it mean to punish the wicked? To explain what the attribute of Hashem's netzach is. The issue of victory. Nitzachon Shaykh Daf Gesheish Klibus Adrachah. The victory only comes when there's an opponent to beat. And there has to be the Klib on the other side. V'yesh Rosh Yishu Sonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a wicked one who hates, that Hashem hates. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu manishes, and Hashem punishes him. In other words, he's asking a philosophical question. I understand why you want to give people rewards. But if you want to give them rewards, it's one thing. But why does Hashem want there to be wicked people that should get punished? And the answer is, because that shows one of God's attributes of Netzach, to overcome the evil that exists. I mean, I don't understand. I would have thought a simpler answer is, because if there is no wicked people at all, then there still is no free will choice. Have the wicked people who are able to make money by working on Shabbos and having multi-million-dollar homes. That's part of the Sitra Achar, and part of them getting something. And at the end, you have to find out that they don't get anything out of it. Right. They get punished. Right. Okay, that could all be part of Netzach. That could be all part of Netzach. Netzach is to overpower the other forces. So he's got to have the other forces in order to overpower them. Okay, let's go back upstairs. The words of the Tanya now. This is what we call the back of the desire of Hashem. Any flow that comes from Hashem that really is the opposite of what he really wants, but it's only done for side reasons. That's called backhanded desire. That's when you throw it behind your back to the guy you hate, you don't want to look at him. Kitnu gufanis, physical movement, mekora betnus nafshi, is really coming from what's inside, the inner movement. The outer movement just reflects the inner movement. Because you see that the inner flow from him, right? It doesn't express itself, but with a physical way, when he gives it to him, when he turns his face. Because when you have the face, that's showing the inner way. It's not showing it the other way. So that's the backhanded way. Continues the Tanya. Because the will of Hashem, the supernal will, when we look at the aspect of the face, is the source of life that sustains all the worlds. The source of life of all the worlds, that is the level of the inner will of Hashem. Continues the Tanya. Since God's inner will does not rest at all on the other side, and even the backhanded part of Hashem isn't enclosed in it, but rather it surrounds it from above. Surrounds it from above. It's not even enclosed in it. Explains the commentary. The inner will doesn't rest at all on the Sitra Achar. That's the opposite of what God wants. Even the backhanded desire doesn't really enclose itself in the inner essence of the Sitra Achar, but rather it's something surrounded from it, from outside of it. Look at footnote Dalit. Hatamba said, the reason is, a flow that comes from love and closeness, like a father who learns with a son, or a Rebbe with a Talmud. Because he loves him and he wants the recipient to get his flow, I mean to say, for example, the student should understand what he's saying. He ties himself to the recipient, who's a student. He wants to be close with him. I want part of me in him. I want my knowledge in him. You have to give somebody and you don't really want it. The giver is very far away. Doesn't want to be enclosed at all in this fellow. So this is our aspect. Since Hashem doesn't want to give to the other side, he's throwing it behind his back. Therefore, the godly life is totally hidden. It's not tied to him at all. Not enclosed at all. It just comes from behind. It's like just I'm just sending the energy.
But
I'm just tossing it to you. I'm not even close. I'm not even, you know, when you like somebody, you put your arm around him. You want to be close with him. And that idea of being inside is close to him. Hashem doesn't want to be close at all to these things. He sends it long distance. So there's mamish nothing within the Sitra Achar that has any godliness, and it's a long-distance message that's being thrown from God's backside, as it were.
But that's only through Tzimtzum. In reality, God has to be there.
There's
nothing else. God has to be there other than,
But at Tzimtzum, you look at it. Okay, you look at a Nazi. You don't see anything.
No.
Nothing. There's nothing there at all. Right? While you look at a yid, even the yid who sins is always up to something there.
Behind the scenes, behind the puppet show, we'll say, that the puppeteer is running both situations.
It's not even a puppet show. It's him.
Yeah, it's him.
He's the puppets.
Right.
So it's totally like zero connection from our perspective.
Right, from our perspective.
Okay, now we move on to Reish Samach Tes. Lakach, now this will tie in a little bit to this week's Parsha. Lakach imakom hamisa v'atum Hashem Yishmerenu. This now gives place for death and tumah. Hashem should protect us. Explains. Elosh mekomom k'sonol harei mukhar chlomer. You have to say, sheyesh ha'ara mitzumtzemesh mitzalbebes v'pnim sezrabi. You got to say there's something, some light that's constricted, that's enclosed within the essence of the Sitra Achar. For anything to live, there's got to be some life inside of it. All of life means that some life has penetrated into it. Even if you're sending it from long distance, it's got to have some life.
It has to.
Since that's the case, even with the other side, even though its life comes from the backward desire of Hashem, say all of its life surrounds it. Then you couldn't even have the Sitra Achar. That's what it's going to explain. Even though there's a little bit inside, this is the place of death and tumah. This is the place of death and tumah, which will have to be explained what this means. Continues the Tanya. Because there's a little drop of this light and life that it nurtures and is received inside of it from the backward side to Kedush Shalom, from Hashem's heavenly holiness from above. That's the aspect of Golus, Besod Golus, in the secret of Golus, Hashchina, etc. Explains. Hashchina mechaya kol davar. The Shchina gives life to everything. Aval achiyus nimtzos ba'osa davar v'bechinas Golus. But the life is found inside of it in an aspect of Golus, meaning hasitra achar margishu balabais, because the sitra achar thinks he's the boss. That recipient thinks he's the boss of everything. And he has no nullification before the source of life that is for it. Let's give an example. Muvas b'chassidus meaning Gilgul. We notice an aspect of Gilgulim. A Gilgul, a soul comes back. It comes back in many ways.
Reincarnation.
Now, dehine b'chol adam evar guf b'teil mal nefesh. Because we know all the body parts, they're nullified to the soul of a person. Ki chiyus ha-nefesh hi b'gili b'guf. The life of the soul is revealed in the body. And the body feels the life. They nullify themselves to the soul and live according to the way the soul tells to live. That's when a human soul goes into a human body. So what if a human soul has been destined to go into a cow?
Aye.
An animal. Then they nefesh adam iskalas, the human soul is not revealed in the animal. It doesn't create and activate in the body of the animal a nullification to the soul of the human being. The animal's not going to start acting like a person. The soul is totally in exile. It's there and makes no impact at all. That's part of the tikkun, part of the punishment for the soul. Just like a person in a bag. He doesn't do anything to make the bag act like a human being. The person's tied in the bag and he's in Golas. That we find in Gilgulim. Therefore, same thing, when God puts the life into the klipa, the life is in there, but it's in galus. It doesn't really make an impact in the way God wants it to, and the klipa is not nullified to Hashem. It stands as its own thing, a yesh, and totally separated. Let's do footnote. Hey, inin agolus. What's the aspect of golus? It's only talking about the aspect of the life inside. The Nevar Khan, we've explained here, this aspect of the back of Hashem's desire, that we said it's not enclosed within it, but rock, surround from above, only a little bit of life is inside of it, but even that little inside of a Bechinas Kolos Mamash, it's Mamash Kolos. And that life that's on the surrounding part, it doesn't disturb the sitrach thing. He's an independent reality. Since only surrounding. In other words, the real aspect of the chiyus of the object is beyond it. And the part inside is there, but it doesn't activate anything. It's not really felt as it's activating. It doesn't deny. It doesn't deny that there is this outer reality. Where Gamla Hal is going to explain? Because God is called the God of the gods. Hey, Margishim Asim, they sense that they are gods. Hagam Shemodim, Sheshlam Alakadr's room. They admit there's a God who created them. Amnam, Venagel, Chishma, Sam, but regarding the life that's inside of them. If they would feel that life, that'd be a contradiction of their feeling of their own self-independence. Right. Because the life force inside is really the essence of what has been created. Okay, therefore, when this life is swallowed up in them, it's like an exile. It's not felt by the recipient. In other words, it's saying like this. Normally, when Hashem gives straight. Hashem gives straight to people. Hashem gives straight to plants, animals, everything in this world.
And they know
everything
it.
And they know it. The table knows that Hashem is supporting it inside. Now, in fact, we don't see Hashem. Hashem hides it. Fine. But you ask the table in its heart of hearts, it'll tell you, I know that Hashem is totally making me exist. No question about it. And that's how everything exists in this world. Some reveal more, some reveal less. Human being can reveal a lot if he chooses to. Okay? Now, forces of the other side, though, they are sustained totally from the back. Totally getting from outside of themselves. Now, there is a little bit inside themselves that is the life source. It is. But it's in galus. I mean, say it doesn't really impact on it in any way that the recipient feels at all that it's getting from him. At all. Now, but it does know that there's a force outside of it. Meaning, it's saying, I know God is giving me. You know what it's like? It's like the spoiled brat child. What does the spoiled brat child say? You know, he yells at his father. He's this and this and that. Well, he knows his father's giving him all the money to keep him going.
Yeah.
Father gives him $100,000 a year.
So that's where he wants more?
He takes it all. He knows without his father he's got nothing, but he says it's all me. Mm. He says, I know it's from you, but I have nothing to do with you. Mm. I'm totally separate from you. I don't owe you nothing. And that's what they're saying. The idols themselves know. They know there's a God. There's a God of the gods.
No,
there's a God of the gods, but totally not connected to the God of the gods. I feel nothing. Once you made me, I'm on my own now. You made me? Fine. I can't deny that, but I'm totally independent from you. I got from you, I owe you nothing, I'm not connected to you at all. Right? How can you live? Well, that part that's keeping you alive, you're totally unaware of it, and you're not letting it impact on you.
Or in denial.
Or in denial, whatever. But that's what God is always called, the God of the gods.
Yeah. Okay.
The God of the gods. They know that the God made them, but now we have nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them.
There's not a view out there that God created the world and then left.
And then left.
Sure.
Right. And that's...
Now, you went to Florida.
You're going
to
say, there's certain Rishayim who know that God created them. God created them, but that's it. How did you come into the world? How did you come into the world? By accident? It can't be. It has to be a higher power. Okay, I agree there's a higher power. I agree the higher power made me. Finish. But now that he made me, I'm on my own.
I'm a self-made.
And I don't need anything from him. He doesn't give me anything now.
Nothing.
And that's the whole idea of being a yesh.
Somebody.
And when you're a yesh,
not just the
then you're very far away from Hashem. And you believe that Hashem has something to do with you.
Yeah.
And that means the Shekhinah is in the Golos. Okay, we haven't explained death yet, but we're going to get to it. We'll have to stop over here.
Okay.